in an industry where everybody wants to be real, everybody wants to do a shoot, this, my friends, is a shoot.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
So I'm going to be shooting from the heart.
I don't know what I did to serve them.
And that is a promise, because this is true. This is real. Frustrated into the goddamn workforce. This is bullshit.
Oh, shit. Watch your fucking mouth.
Oh, fuck me.
God damn it. Fuck.
You know that I know that you are only half the man that I am. And I have half the brain that you do.
And they add 66 2/3%. I got 141 2/3% chance of winning at sacrifice.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy?
The unscripted, uncensored Luke Cannon of commentary.
Welcome to
the Shootout with Ryan and Jordan.
All right, hello and welcome everybody to the Shootout with me, Ryan. Of course, final week of Drunken Radio. Jordan's not here, because obviously. The things were, Raw is still on the air as of this moment, but, yeah, we'll go into all that, plus we'll go into my thoughts on Money in the Bank last night, and, the future of wrestling, and, you know, just my thoughts on wrestling in general, in case I haven't said them enough. But yeah, since nothing is happening, or I can't really move on until, Raw is over. Just bear with me, and we'll do something here, baby. I have no idea. I have no idea what I want to do. And since everything's just destroyed right now anyways. I don't know. I don't know what I can do at the moment, actually. Nothing's worse. Let's see. Just official now, Battleground pay-per-view, WWE network event thing that it is. Main event will be Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose. That's right. The Shield in a triple threat match, which everyone was kind of figuring was going to happen. But, I mean, you know, it seemed as though the plans were for SummerSlam, but, whatever. Ambrose's champion is pretty cool, but that goes into last night. And what happened at Money in the Bank and everything else. So, yes, but the thing is, I really need to do something, man. I, like, need to figure this out. Nothing seems to be working. Yeah. Stuff and things. What can I do? This is what I can do. Right now, I got to get these two pieces of audio uploaded. So bear with me while I do that, and I'll quickly go over what happened at Money in the Bank. Didn't watch any of the pre-show, so pay me for all. I did see that Lucha Dragons beat the Dudley Boys for some reason. God, it's so stupid how they're handling the Dudley Boys. But that's about it. Apparently, Golden Truth won a match or something, as if we're supposed to care about it. That's about it. That's all that happened on the pre-show. But the first match of the night was, of course, Fatal 4-Way Tag Match. Enzo Amore, Cass, Big Cass, versus New Day versus Vaudevillains versus The Club. And, of course, New Day won. So there's something. Yep. Next up was probably, I don't know. It was such, the undercard was pretty underwhelming. I think next was Corbin Ziggler, which Corbin won. God, that was an awful match. Corbin is awful. Fucking whatever. He's big, so Vince McMahon loves him to death. And all that. Yeah. Here, I'll just do this. I'll Wikipedia this shit. Why is it blank? 2016 Wikipedia. I need to be more drunk. That's probably part of the problem. I've only had a couple of drinks tonight. Yeah, Baron Corbin beat Dolph Ziggler. Charlotte and Dana Brooke defeated Natalya and Becky Lynch. Apollo Crews defeated Sheamus, which another match that I actually fell asleep during that match. AJ Styles defeated John Cena. Dean Ambrose defeated Alberto, Cesaro, Jericho, Owens, and Zayn for the Money in the Bank. Rusev defeated Titus O'Neil, Seth Rollins defeated Roman Reigns, and then Dean Ambrose cashed in and became World Heavyweight Champion. And since nothing at all seems to be working, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do now. I guess I could remind you, 760-539-3247, or you can click on the Skype button at the top of the page. If you got thoughts, comments, or concerns about anything that I'm talking about tonight, which, you know, is just wrestling in general, tonight's Raw. Last night's Money in the Bank. All sorts of awesomeness. But, yeah. I literally cannot do anything at this moment, man. I need to get these damn clips uploaded so I can play them and then figure everything out, damn it. Let's see. Here, we'll do this real quick. I liked Money in the Bank. It was probably one of the better pay-per-views of this year. Now, I didn't watch Extreme Rules or Payback, but still. Was one of the better pay-per-views of the year. But yeah, it was good for the most part. Aside from, you know, the couple of matches here and there that were just boring and lame. I mean, obviously, the three main selling point matches, the main event, Cena and Styles and Money in the Bank, were all fantastic. Money in the Bank was a little underwhelming, but, you know, it was still a good six-man ladder match, you know, so there's that. But, yeah, overall, I thought the pay-per-view was good. I couldn't complain that much about it, aside from four matches. That's not including the pre-show. Man. I don't know. Whatever. But yeah, I guess everyone's up in arms that the Shield Triple Threat isn't happening at SummerSlam. Whatever. That's the match that's happening. Who cares where it or when it happens? Going to be on pay-per-view. That's just breaking news, I guess, or something. Wow, my voice is really lame. I don't know what the deal is. Anyways, right, there we go. I think that's a little bit better anyways, as far as my voice goes. So let's see. While I attempt to get one last thing started here, let's go with one of the many reasons why I am a wrestling fan. The last clip that I'm going to play tonight pretty much describes it verbatim, why I am a fan of wrestling. But however, what I'm going to play here in just a moment is one of the many reasons. This is a clip that's been played time and time again on the old Drunken Radio Show, Nightcaps. Even probably Harms His Way a few times. Definitely the shootout episode that occurred last year. This is the greatest wrestling promo ever. And it is Scott Steiner's math lesson. Let's take a listen. Listen, taker.
You know, they say all men are created equal. But you look at me and you look at Small Joe, and you can see that statement is not true. See, normally if you go one-on-one with another wrestler, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But I'm a genetic freak, and I'm not normal. So you got a 25% at best at beating me. And then you add Kurt Angle to the mix, your chances of winning drastically go down. See, the three-way at Sacrifice, you got a 33 1/3 chance of winning. But I got a 66 2/3 chance of winning because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me, and he's not even going to try. So, Samoa Joe, you take your 33 1/3 chance minus my 25% chance, and you got an 8 1/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one and then add 66 2/3%. I got 141 2/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. See, Joe, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at Sacrifice.
That is one of the best, not only the best wrestling promo of all time, but one of the best audio clips, one of the best just moments recorded on film ever. I'm serious, like dead serious. That is one of the best. This is up there with, you know, that's not what your country can do for you, or this is one of the best things that has ever happened in human history. Scott Steiner's math lesson. And I'm sorry, but I just have to play it one more time because this is one of the key reasons why I am a fan of wrestling. So let's take one more listen to the brilliance that is Scott Steiner's math lesson.
You know, they say all men are created equal, but you look at me and you look at Small Joe, and you can see that statement is not true. See, normally if you go one-on-one with another wrestler, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But I'm a genetic freak, and I'm not normal. So you got a 25% at best at beating me. And then you add Kurt Angle to the mix, your chances of winning drastically go down. See, the three-way at Sacrifice, you got a 33 1/3 chance of winning. But I got a 66 2/3 chance of winning because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me, and he's not even going to try. So, Samoa Joe, you take your 33 1/3 chance minus my 25% chance, and you got an 8 1/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one and then add 66 2/3%. I got 141 2/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. See, Joe, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at Sacrifice.
There you have it. Scott Steiner once had ...66 2/3% chance of winning that little TNA pay-per-view called Sacrifice. So, good job, Scott Steiner. Good job for not winning that match and everything else. And if you can find the actual video of it, he had a little sidekick wrestler at the time, Petey Williams. And Petey Williams is just the best part of the whole thing. He just stands around looking confused. Just absolutely brilliant. It is perfection. It is one of the greatest reasons why I love professional wrestling. Now, to go into more detail about Money in the Bank, I'll break it down, which matches I liked, which ones I hated. Again, I didn't watch the pre-show, aside from, you know, I heard it in the background while I was making dinner. For the last match, anyways. Lucha Dragons beating Dudley Boyz. God, what is wrong with the E, man? New Day, Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Match. New Day retained the championship. And, you know, I thought it was decent. It was, for what it was fine. It kind of got to be a bit of a cluster at the end, but it's kind of how these matches work. So that's no big deal. It was a good match. Worth a watch. Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler went on for, according to Wikipedia, 12 minutes, 23 seconds. That's longer than the Fatal 4-Way tag match, which was only 11 minutes, 23 seconds. Yeah, and it definitely felt like it. It felt like that match lasted 20 minutes. It was boring. Baron Corbin is horrible. I don't get it. Let's see. Charlotte and Dana Brooke defeated Natalya and Becky Lynch in 7 minutes. For me, it was the right amount of time. Perfect length for this kind of match. The nonsensical, just, hey, let's just have a women's tag match on this show. Not a championship match or anything, just a tag match. Yeah. So, yeah, it was fine. And as it has been noted time and time again, I'm not a fan of women's wrestling. I'm just not. I know that makes me sexist or whatever. In today's day and age, I'm just, maybe it's just been beaten over the head. Or I've been beaten over the head with how shitty Divas matches were over the years, that I just can't stand it. I don't know. Point is, I'm not a fan of women's wrestling, so whatever. I'm a sexist or whatever, that's fine. But yeah, it was, for what it was fine. Apollo Crews defeated Sheamus, which of course everyone knew he was going to do. Again, I fell asleep, so that should tell you all you need to know. AJ Styles versus John Cena was pretty fantastic. Would have been nice to see a clean victory over Cena. You know, AJ Styles did win, but, you know, it's shenanigans. Would have been nice to see a clean victory, but, and I mean, they gave Kevin Owens a clean victory for the most part, so why not Styles? It's kind of lame, but it makes sense. At least Cena's going to bury him in the end, like he always does. So, there's that. Like I said before, the Money in the Bank ladder match itself was pretty, it was good, you know. It actually lasted, it wasn't as long as the Cena and Styles match, which is interesting. sorry, just looking at the times of other matches on the card. And, yeah, so Money in the Bank ladder match. It was kind of underwhelming, you know. It didn't have that many big spots, which is fine, you know. But, you know, you still, there were awesome moments, don't get me wrong. It's just, you know, in the grand scheme of things, are people going to remember this Money in the Bank ladder match outside of, you know, what happened later on in the show? Probably not. But, whatever. Rusev defeated Titus O'Neil because obviously that was going to happen. And It's pretty much the first time I've ever watched. Well, no, I can't say a Rusev match because I just suffered through that during WrestleManias and such. But it's probably the only time I've ever watched a Titus O'Neil match, and it's not good. So there's that. Seth Rollins defeated Roman Reigns, which was something I didn't see coming, but I guess made a lot of sense. Seth Rollins defeated Roman Reigns to win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. It was a decent match. You know, when Roman Reigns is involved, it can get iffy, and this one did get a bit iffy at times. But overall, it was a decent match. Seth Rollins winning was awesome, obviously. Would have been awesome if the show just ended there. But, of course, it didn't. Dean Ambrose cashed in the Money in the Bank championship right after Seth Rollins' victory and became the WWE World Heavyweight Champion in 9 seconds. So, that's cool. Dean Ambrose, I always thought, was the best member of the Shield, but then he turned into this, oh, I'm lunatic, crazy, I'm so crazy, it's weird, fun stuff and things, maybe. So he turned into that guy and kind of got lame, but still entertaining here and there. You know, he's good. I got to say, I like Dean Ambrose. I hated the Shield, because you could see the writing on the wall. These guys are going to be, oh, they're the future, and the future has to be now, and so we're just shoving it down your throats. And I hated that aspect of the Shield, especially when they became baby faces. Yeah, that was whatever. But Seth Rollins really impressed me. He was one that I really didn't care for during the Shield days. But after the breakup and eventual championship win, he really impressed me. I liked him a lot, obviously. Roman is Roman. That's all you got to say. And, you know, it's awesome that we're getting the Shield triple threat match here on July 22nd, I believe. Battleground. Over a month away. Something like that. I don't know. I mean, it's not like that big of a dream match or something. It's like, oh, wow, this is the most amazing match I could ever be imagined. No. But it'll be fun, obviously. So. Yeah. Stuff things words. I guess we'll go to a bit of a break here. 760-539-3247, or you can click on the Skype button. I'll go into Raw, and also I'll play another clip that really explains why I am a professional wrestling fan, a WWE fan mostly. 760-539-3247. More of the Shootout with me, your humble drunkard from afar, on this final week of Drunken Radio. More Shootout just after this.
From Amazon, number 1,772,434th best-selling author, comes his long-awaited, unabashed sequel. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2, More Drunken Ramblings You Won't Read.
And the butchery begins.
With a brilliantly written foreword by Travis Bevan that is worth the price of purchase alone.
Now I have something I can work with.
For only $3.99, get the sequel to The Drunken Diaries. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read. Get it on your Kindle device today.
Yeah, bitch!
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So this bud's for you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
I'm the world's worst cleaning lady. Cleanliness was supposed to be my middle name. But then my parents settled on Janet. Now, I'm here in your home having a pretty spectacular Tuesday.
But I don't notice the loose rug at the top of your stairs.
And that's about to become an issue for me.
And if you've got the wrong home insurance coverage, my medical bills could get expensive. So get Allstate. Rage and help keep you protected from mayhem.
Like me.
Good hands, good home. Make sure you have the right home protection. Talk to an Allstate agent.
Men with power obey neither policy nor principle. No one is different. No one is neutral.
If Superman were here, what would you want to say to him?
That my family too had dreams. To look him in his eye and ask him how he decides which lives count and which ones do not.
There's a new kind of mean in him. He is angry and he's hunting.
I didn't kill those men, if that's what they think.
And this is what makes you such a good reporter. Stuff like this still shocks you.
I'm older now than my father ever was. This may be the only thing I do that matters.
So falls the House of Wayne.
God is all powerful. He cannot be all good.
In a world only like sense. If you force it to.
Men like that, words don't stop him. You know what stops him? A fist.
You are never a god. You are never even a man.
That dream is all some people have. It's all that gives them hope.
Now God is good as dead.
Man made a world where standing together is impossible.
We will. We have to.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Way Too Proud of Texas Guy.
Mr. Way Too Proud of Texas Guy.
Men from lesser states may know their state's capital, but you know your state's bird, tree, and even reptile.
Love that horny toad.
You display your pride with your Lone Star tattoo, Native Texan bumper sticker, and contempt for any state that doesn't start with Tex and end with is.
That spells Texas.
Sure, there are 49 other states in the Union, but they're smaller, wussier, and the people talk funny.
Yankee wussy.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh lover of the Lone Star State, because all that flag waving must have made you mighty thirsty.
Mr. Way Too Proud of Texas.
Bud Light beer, and I'm Bush, Houston, Texas.
His way, but the shootout with Ryan Harms, yeah, awesome. All right, so a little bit about tonight's Raw. It was good. I would have liked it a lot better had I not been able to. Watch that whole Wyatt segment thing when they returned. Unfortunately, I had a storm in my area and it screwed up the satellite signal and everything else. So I didn't get to see that. It's the only thing that I didn't get to see. One of the only things that I would want to see, aside from the Styles, Cena promo stuff, and probably a couple other things. Paige and Charlotte was a decent match. I'll give the ladies their due. It was a good match. So, any other thoughts? Romans and Rollins, the WrestleMania quality main event is given away for free one night after it was, the main event of the pay-per-view thing. I mean, the match was fine. Double count out, whatever. Sets up for the triple threat match. John Laurinaitis, just why? Why is John Laurinaitis even remotely relevant in 2016? Please, somebody tell me why. Somebody outside of JBL who marks out. Wow, I said that all Canadian-like. Who marks out for no reason. Whatever. But one thing is interesting. It's official. The draft is going to happen. I mean, we all knew that it would, but it's going to happen on SmackDown. The first live SmackDown, July 19th. Will be the draft. So, now this is something that I haven't, it's one of the biggest wrestling news stories since WrestleMania. And I haven't said a word about it anywhere, not ryansdrunk.com, not the YouTube channel, not the Drunken Radio Network, nowhere. At least I'm pretty sure I didn't say anything. The radio network. Either way, my thoughts on the draft. Honestly, I've got mixed feelings about it. I really do. It's definitely needed with all the talent that WWE has. No one is getting, just a couple of people are getting enough screen time, enough time to, be on camera, do their thing, show what they can do, grab the brass ring. And even if you do that, do it on your own, become over on your own like Zack Ryder, you're just reduced to nothing anyways. The draft could definitely be a good thing. The brand split could definitely be a good thing. But this is WWE we're talking about. This is a company that threw away the most easily booked wrestling angle ever, WWF versus WCW. And yes, contracts and things, Time Warner stuff, they couldn't do everything that they would have wanted to. You couldn't have had Sting versus The Undertaker in 2001. But they threw away the biggest angle of all time, the invasion, and turned it into this mind-numbingly. It's looked upon as one of the worst storylines ever, and it easily could have been the best. And it wrote itself. It's WWF versus WCW. How do you screw that up? And yet WWE did. WWF, I guess, at the time did. So yeah, the draft. I've got mixed feelings. Could be awesome, could be horrible. We'll have to wait and see, especially since we don't really know anything that's going on. Is there going to be split pay-per-views again? Is there going to be another world title introduced? What's going to happen? One thing, say, in late 2002 through 2003, one thing that I absolutely hated was that they brought in two titles. It would have been awesome to stick with just one champion that goes on both shows. That would be awesome, and I hope they do that this time. I hope they do that with the women's title and the tag titles. I'm sure the U.S. and Intercontinental titles could be on one show. Maybe you could bring back, say, the hardcore title and the European title, have them on separate shows. That'd be awesome. The hardcore title would be an awesome title in and of itself, man. You could just have, like, Interrupt Live on the WWE Network. Hey, guess what? It's 24/7 rules, and there's a hardcore championship match happening in an airport in Iowa right now. It would be fun. You know, since you got the network, you could do that. I'm sorry, I totally stole that from, I believe, Adam Pacitti from What Culture, but he said it, and I agree. That's a totally awesome idea. Plus, the hardcore title just makes things interesting. It's pretty much the reason why I started watching WWF over WCW back in the day. I'm just saying. I love the hardcore title. That's, again, got off on another tangent there. Took a drink. That's three drinks down, probably six-ish shots of vodka. It's going to be a long week. So, yes, the draft is exciting. Again, I have mixed feelings about it. I don't know. Especially since they're going with, basically no real reason to happen. Kind of manufacturing the reason for it to happen now. To say, hey, I guess Stephanie and Shane hate each other, maybe. So, yeah, we need to split the roster again, kind of. They kind of did it backwards. Whereas, you know, the first time it happened, words aren't coming to... Oh, Vince McMahon was feuding with Ric Flair. They both were the co-owners, quote-unquote, of the WWF at the time. So they needed to run their own shows and stuff. And, you know, it was interesting. But now it's just, hey, guess what? Me and Steph, we're announcing that there's going to be a draft. And then the next week, they're like, hey, you know what? We kind of hate each other. So, I wonder what's going to happen. Who's going to run which show? Kind of stupid, storyline-wise. But again, I do think that it is needed. It's just, it all depends on the execution. And thus far, the execution has been pretty lame. But yeah. Excuse me. Raw tonight was decent enough. Well, you have anything else to add about Raw? I mean, the Cena Styles segment was awesome for the most part, you know. Building off of what happened last night. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, what I'm going to do right now, play another clip that explains why I am a professional wrestling fan, why I'm a fan of WWE. This makes a much better watch than a listen. I just took this audio directly from the WWE YouTube page. I didn't edit it or anything, so it might not even make... It might be horrible as audio. I don't know. And really, this was my second choice to explain this aspect of why I love professional wrestling. But, yeah, this is Daniel Bryan and his retirement speech, right? Take a listen, listen takers.
Just now, I was able to close my eyes and feel that. Like, literally feel it in a way that I've never gotten to feel it before, because when we're here, we always have to keep our eyes open. But just that experience, I'm never going to forget it. I've been wrestling since I was 18 years old. And within the first 5 months of my wrestling career, I'd already had 3 concussions. And for years after that, I would get a concussion here and there, or here or there. And then it gets to the point when you've been wrestling for 16 years that adds up to a lot of concussions. And it gets to a point where they tell you that you can't wrestle anymore. And for a long time I fought that, because this, I have loved this in a way that I have never loved anything else. But a week and a half ago, I took a test that said that maybe my brain isn't as okay as I thought it was. And I have a family to think about, and it is with a heavy heart and the utmost sadness that I officially announce my retirement. But if there's one thing, so I've gone through all these complex emotions in this last little bit. You know, I've been angry, I've been sad, I've been frustrated, I've been all of that. But today, when I woke up this morning, I felt nothing but gratitude. I have gotten to do what I love for nearly 16 years. I am grateful. I am grateful because of wrestling, I got to meet the most wonderful woman in the world. Who's beautiful, she's smart, and she completes me in a way that I didn't even think was possible. And that's because of wrestling. I am grateful. Now, tomorrow morning, I start a new life. A life where I am no longer a wrestler. But that is tomorrow, and that is not tonight. And by damn, I have one more night to feel this energy and to feel this crowd. So if I could just get one last yes chant, I would really appreciate it.
And so there you have it. One of the other biggest reasons I love wrestling, why I love WWE. For something that is as stupid and as horrible as it can be at times to watch as a fan, it can conjure up some of the most strongest of emotions. I was damn near in tears watching that when it happened live, when it lasted for about 20 minutes or so, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And I was damn near in tears. I damn near broke down and cried. And I guess, sure, you can say, it's still real to me, damn it. But there's more to it than just that. There is. Now, again, as I mentioned before, this was my second choice for an audio clip for this portion of why I love wrestling. The first choice was Rob Van Dam. His shoot interview at One Night Stand 2005. It definitely conjures up a whole different set of emotions. You're not sad to watch this great performer be forced out of doing what he loves. Instead, you're outraged and hurt that someone with this RVD promo, Rob Van Dam, someone wanted to perform so badly but couldn't because he was injured at the time. And you could feel his anger. You could feel his passion, you know? know, it was... Again, it was one of the most... It's not heartbreaking, but it's one of the most emotional things that could ever happen in a wrestling ring, and it has nothing to do with the matches themselves. Although I do enjoy a wrestling match, don't get me wrong. I love watching wrestling itself. But if there isn't a true emotional, like, point to why these guys are fighting, like, it's Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens in the main event for the 17th week in a row, what's the point? Why bother? And, oh, my God, it's just for an example tonight. It's Baron Corbin going up against Zack Ryder. I wonder who's going to win. What's the point? The best story ever told in wrestling was the one that made me fall in love with it when I was a child. Maybe it's just the nostalgia factor. Whatever. And looking back, you know, I've seen many of the episodes of Nitro during, or, you know, with the advent of the WWE Network. And sure, a lot of the matches were horrible. I mean, we're talking about, like, a 40-year-old, at that time, 40-year-old Hulk Hogan was never that great of a performer. Great wrestler, I should say, to begin with. And, you know, he's having matches with, like, another 40-year-old Roddy Piper or Savage. Although Macho Man, he made those matches good. Any time they were in the ring together, he made them good. So, sure, a lot of the matches aren't like, oh, wow, amazing, technical powerhouse. Schoolhouse lessons of what wrestling is or anything, but they were, the story is what drove it, man. And the story was Hulk Hogan turning heel, going evil for the first time, and there was no one that could stop him except for one guy that it seemed as though all of his friends had turned their back on him. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe that he was on their side. But one guy named Sting was there to put an end to the terror that was this New World Order group. It was just beautiful storytelling. It was, man. It literally was beautiful storytelling on par with, like, fucking Breaking Bad, which is easily the best show that I've ever seen. All the little bits and pieces, when Sting would come down and he would, like, shove up the bat into Lex Luger's chest, hand over the baseball bat, and turn his back on him, do the crucifix pose. It was just so perfect. And then, of course, it got screwed up at the end because Hulk Hogan did. But still, this all went on for like 18 months. This story built and grew, split off into different directions, and it was storytelling perfection. And it happened on a wrestling show. That's why I am a fan of pro wrestling. That's why it's played such a huge part of my life. It started with this. At my core, I am a storyteller. I haven't been able to tell many stories lately. That's fine. I'm working on that. At my core, that's who I am, and that's why I watch wrestling. For the stories, for that emotion, that human emotion that you need in any sort of media. Even news media, you need the human emotion to tie the story together. So I guess I'll end the show tonight with one final thing. This comes from Max Landis. He's a bit of a controversial figure in himself. He's a screenwriter in Hollywood. He's done a few YouTube videos. One of his most infamous videos was called Wrestling Isn't Wrestling 2 years ago. And throughout the whole thing, he's describing Triple H's career. But at the end, when he ends with Daniel Bryan's victory at WrestleMania and all that. I guess when it came out last year. Whatever. Either way. What I'm about to play is the last couple of minutes of Max Landis's rant. Well, it's not a rant. It's awesome. You've got to watch it. Even if you're not a fan of wrestling, you have to watch it. Wrestling Isn't Wrestling on YouTube. Like, first thing you'll find, other than this stupid cancer of YouTube, Tyrone Magnus reacting to the video. Whatever. Stuff things worse. The last bit of Wrestling Isn't Wrestling, something that has made me tear up every single time that I've watched the whole video. I start tearing up at this moment here. We'll see you tomorrow with the final week of Drunken Radio. Tomorrow is the Batman episode. And, of course, we all know I love me some Batman. But here we go. Wrestling Isn't Wrestling. See you tomorrow.
The story goes on. That's the thing about wrestling. It doesn't end. But that's the thing about life, too. And yeah, I left stuff out, but you don't remember everything. Humans crave melodrama. They crave fiction. When you're sitting alone and texting, it's because you're bored. Our imagination is our greatest gift and our greatest curse, because we're bored all the time. And that's what fiction does for us. It gives us a sort of simulator for bigger stories and bigger emotions. That's what Lord of the Rings is. That's what Phantom of the Opera is. That's what Goodfellas is. That's everything. It's us watching and feeling the human capacity for empathy through imagination. That's why we have stories. Triple H is a great character in fiction, told over two decades. A snob who had a chip on his shoulder that he could never let go and just wanted to be the best, but never could be that without cheating. Finally selling out to the point that if he can't be the champion, he'll choose the champion. And that's what you need, man. That's what we all want. From Long John Silver to Perseus to Neo to Walter White. We love watching people grow, change, struggle. Good people, bad people, we don't care. We want to see it, man. We need entertainment and we need it now. And when you watch wrestling, that's what you get. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of wrestling sucks. But when it's good, it's fucking great. Wrestling is melodrama. Wrestling is mythology. Wrestling is action. Wrestling is comic books. The only thing wrestling isn't is wrestling.
get The Drunken Diary, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. Available exclusively on Kindle. For only $2.99. Wait, only $2.99?
You're goddamn right.
That's The Drunken Diary, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. On Kindle. Buy it today.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So this bud's for you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy, because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
From Amazon's number 1,772,434th best-selling author comes his long-awaited, unabashed sequel. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read.
And the butchery begins.
With a brilliantly written foreword by Travis Bevan that is worth the price of purchase alone.
Now I have something I can work with.
For only $3.99, get the sequel to The Drunken Diaries. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read. Get it on your Kindle device today.
Yeah, bitch!
Now, in an industry where everybody wants to be real and everybody wants to do a shoot, this, my friends, is a shoot.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
So I'm going to be shooting from the heart.
I don't know what I did to deserve this.
And that is a promise. Because this is true! This is real! Frustrated into the goddamn workforce! This is bullshit!
Oh, shit! Watch your fucking mouth!
Well, fuck me.
God damn it! Fuck.
You know that I know that you're only half the man that I am!
And then add 66 and two-thirds percent, I got 141 and two-thirds chance of winning at sacrifice.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy?
The unscripted, uncensored Luke Cannon of commentary.
Welcome to
The Shootout with Ryan and Jordan.